This is Listener's Guide, a series from Big Secret Records, and each season leads you deep into how the label's releases were made with the artists who made them. I'm Andrew Jones, the owner and operator of Big Secret Records, talking to you from the label's home base in Portland, Oregon. You're listening to How Good American Songbook by Bob Cummins Jr. was made, and in this episode we're talking about the song Honolulu. We're wrapping up side one of the LP. We're going way back to a song that didn't make the cut for Bob's debut album, Shakewell, but it did reappear on the reissue Shakewell Deluxe as part of the expanded track list. We're going to get into Bob's production method of breaking a drummer's spirit, and my production method of guitars that sound like hammers. There's a lot of cool soloed stuff from the studio sessions that I drug up for this one, to prove that we actually did accomplish some pretty cool things in this song. Just human, no AI happened here. This was all human ingenuity, grit, blood, sweat, and tears. The stories you're about to hear are true. Enjoy.
Honolulu, as far as the writing process, that was originally a song that was going to be on Shakewell. But when I wrote it, it started out as this like clubby, like house song.
When you're sitting on a city and you can't find Honolulu.
And I didn't use it on Shakewell. It was one of the ones I cut. And couple of months after it came out, I revisited that song. I was just thinking of what to write for the record because I liked the song. It had some problems, and I tried to do it in more of a, you know, an acoustic, I guess, indie rock style, and I feel like it's better for it. It's also a time when I didn't have access to a keyboard, and so that's the reason it's so guitar heavy. And like all of the keyboards on the demo are all like me on my laptop typing keyboard.
Oh, right.
It through Logic.
When you're sitting in the city and you can't find Honolulu, in the long and lonely winter, you're awake with
In the demo after the Shakewell version, you and Jasper worked together on that, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah, we worked together on that demo. Jasper added... Did you add bass? Or did you added the... I know you added the steel part.
I did add bass. We did bass and guitar tracking together at my house, and then...
Oh, right, we had that, like, distorted guitar in that one. The, like,
yeah,
hum guitar.
And you can't see eye to eye, and you hope to God you could feel older, but you can't get your shoes untied. You run in place.
It was an interesting choice for the moment. And then I think I sent you the lab steel part afterwards. I had just gotten the lab steel, and I was like, I think we should put lab steel on the song. I think it'd be neat.
The start of a wonderful career. Man, we should have you on for because you did it for In Tow too. Such a highlight of the record, your lap steel playing.
Yeah,
so good.
I forgot that there's steel on Honolulu. That real like it takes it to a cloud at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't there for that. I was going to get food or something.
That's Sorry.
I'm glad you liked it, because I was like worried you'd come back and go,
Well, I showed back up in the studio, and Jasper was just playing these reverbs, like, and I was like, oh my god. I should leave the studio more often.
The guitar tone for that was really interesting, too. Like, it's so clunky and...
Yeah.
It sounds like a toolbox to me. Like, someone's, like, walking with, like, a bunch of shit in a box. Like, and it's just, like, clanging around. Yeah, yeah. And we used an old K amp that had this crazy... hum on it.
That song is probably, I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's like probably one of the least personal for me, one of the most like, I guess, crafted.
Yeah,
but not in like a way where I've like spent a ton of time on the progression or the melody or anything, but just it went through so many different versions, and the lyrics are very poetic. Only because the original version was just a mumble track. And so I did the Tweety thing where you just kind of fill in the mumble track with words. But the song still has some meaning to me. It's kind of mythical or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's that line, that like really specific detail of the blanket at your grandmother's house as a kid.
Yeah, I mean, I think I wrote some lyrics for it. There were just some parts, like at least the first verse. It's what I do for so many songs, where the first verse is like mumbled, and then the second verse it starts gaining some meaning.
I remember you telling me about this song. First, I remember this song when it was the club version. Mm-hmm. I just now, as you brought it up, I remembered hearing that song because I think you sent it to me when I was working a shift at the pizza place, and I was like, "This is great." Yeah, I'd like listen to it in my headphones. I remember that track. But it's interesting how that song ended up being almost like free jazzy. Like,
yeah.
Ian Brothers kind of laid down that like crazy, like free drum part.
Oh, yeah. That part,
which
I... cool. And Brothers is such an amazing drummer. He's all about pocket. And so I feel like it's the only time in the studio where I kind of felt bad, because I was like, okay, if I'm going to get Brothers to do this, I have to break him. Like, there's no way. Yeah, there's no way that he's going to play out of time, like, on purpose. And I was just like, play it like you are a child, like, touching the drums for the first time.
Was amazing to see happen, because we did a few takes of it, and it seemed like from the first take it was clear what the challenge was, and that was like where do you land and like how do you stick the landing,
and like, he did it and I did it.
Yeah,
which is so weird, because I was expecting that to take so many tries.
Yeah, I think we got on like the second or third take or something like that.
Some kind of energy that,
yeah,
and that part was inspired in the moment by the band Young Jesus. In most of their songs, or a lot of their songs, they'll have a verse or a chorus or some kind of vamp, and slowly it just kind of devolves into floaty, out of time things, and then before you know it, they're synced back up again. And all the piano stuff on their records are so good, and that's where you play the clip of one of their songs.
One of their songs. This song goes through the most changes too. It really transforms in the bridge, if that's what you want to think of it as, right? Like that's the bridge, right?
Right.
And yeah, like the drums change. Yeah, and then we come out of it, and it lands on Amari playing acoustic. And it's just acoustic and vocal.
Yeah,
yeah, that song is a real
real journey.
Way after Bob, Jasper, Raymond, and I talked, I got a chance to sit down with Amari to discuss her contributions to the album. I don't know what you remember from it all, because it was like a while ago, and then, you know, you might have even like kind of like let some of it go after thinking that we like didn't keep it, but yeah, like just kind of.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, oh my god, whatever happened to those songs? Like, I thought because he had went and released Shakewell after, and I was like, well, it's been a minute. Maybe they just like scrapped everything, or I don't know.
Yeah, and that sounds so different from what we did that night. I'm sure that was like, what is this?
Mm-hmm. I think when I came, you were guys like putting the, like I guess like the bulk of most of it was done, and you're just trying to figure out like what else could you add, like. And he was thinking of like what I could contribute, like some harmonies and stuff like that.
Yeah, we were working. I mean, I guess. Were you there just one day?
Yeah, I think just one night.
Yeah, and then, okay.
Yeah, just one night, me and Sam both came. And he did trumpet that night.
Yep. Yeah, so then we did Honolulu and Here and That's All Right in the same go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we got acoustic guitar from you for Honolulu and some harmonies.
Yeah, I felt like that was perfect. It kind of like cuts some of like the heaviness out, and it's just like vocals and guitar and like my sort of intricate picking of like the way that I was strumming the chords. It's like the ending was so beautiful as well. And like hanging out on that last chord. I remember you guys were like, yeah, just kind of vibe out on this last chord for a while and just let it ring. And that kind of like ties everything together.
Too, because I did not hear this as being like an electric strummy kind of song. He was like, Bob told me that he wanted this on an electric strummed. I was like, okay, like a slow ballad with like electric guitar strumming seems very like odd to me. And I remember thinking for a long time, like how is an electric guitar gonna like fit into this? And I'm just really glad that we kind of stumbled across that K amp, because that guitar tone is like so so interesting. Just the sound of that amp was so fascinating. So I'm like, I don't know, there's a lot of things I'm proud of that song for, but one thing that I'm proud of is how unexpected a lot of it was. That's all.
Thanks to Amari for dropping in for this one, and kudos to Bob for reviving Honolulu. I think Jasper said it best when he said how unexpected a lot of this song was. Hearing where it started, I never would have expected it to turn out like this. And it's not even the song that I would consider Bob's epic. We'll get to that one in the next half of the season, side two, I'm calling it. I think I've coined that calling sides of a record like one or two. Maybe A or B is better. I'm going to workshop that a little bit. But in the meantime, you can subscribe to the podcast to learn about the rest of Good American Songbook track by track. Visit BigSecretRecords.com or find the label on Instagram and TikTok to learn more about what's next from Big Secret Records. Thanks for listening.